are we? Gosh, did you guys know we're in a pandemic? It's just crazy to me. This time last year we were together, we had no idea that we were going to be going through this. The only thing that I knew this time last year was that I was going to welcome our newest baby girl, Ava Lee. I think we have a photo of her. She is just my husband. She is chill. She's relaxed. She's happy. When she gets frustrated, she grunts. I mean, she is my husband. And she is just the sweetest little babe. And we have another little girl, Gracie Bell. I think we have a family photo, but there we are. Those are my babies. And Ava Lee, already a diva. Look at her in her fur. I'm so thankful that this year's conference is Be the Girl, because I have two baby girls. And so I was able to reflect on what kind of girls do I want my girls to be. And I want my girls to be people, girls that love God more than anything in the world, that they love people more than anything in the world, that they truly serve people. That's how I want my baby girls to be. I don't care what they look like. I don't care how they act. I don't care if they date losers. I just want them to love people and to love God. And that is what we're speaking about today. I'm super excited. God is gonna show up in such a mighty way, you guys. And I have been so in tune to his spirit that, like, even until last night, I was changing this message because he says, take this out, add this. And he's gonna speak today. And I'm excited and I'm just happy that he is using my loud voice to get it out. So let's pray and then let's get into it. God, you are so good. You are so good. And despite what we are going through in our life, despite what we're personally going through, our country's going through, our health is going through, you are still on the throne. You are still God. You are still in control. And when we think things are spinning out of control, you say, I have this whole world in my hand. And so I give you this world. I give you this country. I give you every single woman in here today. May you speak to them. May their hearts be open, their minds be open, their ears be open, and their mouths be shut. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, man. Well, I love love. I love to love people. I love being in love. I love just showing people I love. And I've loved since I was young. I had my first boyfriend at 6. And you say, well, how did you have a boyfriend at 6? What'd you do? We went to McDonald's and went down the slide, okay? And his name was Jason Graham. He had a buck cut. He was really happy. And he was, like, super into corduroy. Even in the summer, he wore corduroy shorts. And I was in love. And I was like, Mama, I love Jason. And she's like, okay. And then I'm pretty sure she went into her closet, you know, and cried and prayed and was like, my baby's going to be boy crazy. And I was. I love me some men. And I just did. And so I remember my first Valentine's Day with Jason. His older sister went and got him a red rose for me. You think the bachelor's excited? Woo! I was like, okay. You know, at 6. And so I get this red rose and I'm so excited. And then his mom called, Mrs. Graham called my mom and said, I'm so sorry, but it was very inappropriate for Jason to give you a red rose at 6. You know, Southern Baptists don't give red roses. And so it was inappropriate and she made him break up with me. And I was devastated. And then the next day, I just dated his best friend, Scotty Manweiler. I was like, ain't gonna keep me down. And I just love it. And literally, I had a boyfriend. I mean, I can't think of a single time I did not have a boyfriend until I was 23 years old. And I remember my dad would say, I know who you're dating by your ringback tone. Anybody remember ringback tones? Okay, if you're like, I don't know what that is. What it was, the sensational thing, where instead of it ringing, you could choose a song. And so, like, let's say you're calling Aunt Sue in Texas, and she doesn't want you to hear it ringing, so it'll be like, I should have been a cowboy, and then she answers. It's, like, amazing. And so my dad would say, I knew who you were dating by your ringback tone. So, like, you know, my sophomore year, I dated this guy named Cam. He had cornrows. He had a teardrop tattoo. He called my dad Pops. Didn't go over well. And that song was like, apple bottom jeans, boots with the fur. You know what I mean? And it was just like, that's what it was. And then I dated Ben, my worship pastor boyfriend, you know, who wore a beanie in July. I don't know why. And a little too, like, low of a V-neck. Like, nobody wants to see that. And that was like, to you, I sing, I dance, I rejoice in this divine romance. Anybody remember that? Feel welcome. And then And then when I dated Anthony, my 6'4" emo boyfriend with a sharp temper and a little too tight of jeans, I don't remember the song. I just remember it was by a band named The Used, which ironically described my relationship with him. But looking back on my life, I don't know what happened to me. I'm definitely gonna write a book about it because clearly it's entertaining. And I don't know why. Like, my parents have been married 40 plus years. You know, my brothers are Sebek women. I don't know why I sampled out men like I was at a hometown buffet, but I did. I was like, let's try it all. And it wasn't until I was 23 years old that I'd had enough. And I remember I had just gotten out of a relationship with this guy. He was so narcissistic. He definitely thought he was better looking than he was. And I don't know what he did. Like, he just would, like, he would be a jerk, and then he'd, like, buy me Kenny G tickets. I'm all about that sack. And then I would forgive him until I couldn't. And I remember I was sitting on my bed, and I was crying, and I was angry, and my mom was calling. I'm like, ignore, ignore, ignore. And then an hour later, my dad calls, and this is what they do, okay? My mom calls. If I don't answer, Phil, you try to call her and see if she'll pick up your call. They've been doing this for 19 years. They don't think I know, but I know. I know their scheme. And so I pick up because I know they're not going to stop calling. And I'm living in Denver. My roommates are gone that day. And he's like, hey, babe, mom's been trying to call you. I'm like, I know, I'm in a crisis. Me and Michael broke up, whatever he was. Like, and I'm like, what's wrong with me? I'm so tired of this. Why do I keep doing this? And how my daddy, our whole lives, he would tell us a story when we were in crisis. This is how he would handle us. He would begin to tell us a story. And at the end of the story, he would make his statement. And his statement was, Jenny, until you know what you want, you will never get it. And until you ask God what you want, you will never get it. You need to be specific. Stop trying to find somebody with swagger. Stop trying to find somebody that buys you things. Stop trying to find somebody that's cute. You know, you've got to be specific. And so that night I wrote down a list of over 140 things I want. I thought, if I'm asking the Lord, I'm getting hard. Like, I'm like, you can do it, Lord. And you know, why not? And a year later to the date, I met my husband. And he had every single thing on the list. Because I was specific. And because I stopped looking on eHarmony or whatever, and I started looking at him harmony, okay? And looking back, I'm just so grateful for my dad. I'm so grateful for that wisdom, because the truth is that we all want love, don't we? Deep down inside of us, all of us want to be loved. Love is the most powerful emotion that we can experience. Even as a baby, when you're first born, the moment you're born, they put you on your mama's chest, skin to skin, because that baby, from the moment they are born, craves love. They need to feel love. They need to feel you. And we all do. Every one of us wants to be loved at the core of us. And you know, love is unique depending on the type of love. There's four types of love in the Greek, two of which we see very heavily in the Bible. The first is storge, and this is a Greek word for family love. All of us have a family. And some of you are like, I don't love my family. But guess what? This is storge, because get this. It's the most natural, emotional, and gentle kind of love because it pays the least amount of attention to people who are deemed worthy of love. And it is able to transcend the most discriminating factors. So your auntie or uncle who's still racist over Polish people, right? Or random things, or your crazy aunt who's like doing her thing, you're like, why do I love her? Because storge. Because she might not deserve it, but love, this kind of love isn't deemed worthy. You just love them because they're your family. Then we see phila, and phila is for close friends. The Bible refers to phila in John 13:35, when Jesus says, by everyone will know that you are my disciple if you love one another. This is the most general type of love in scripture because it's love for fellow human beings, caring for other human beings, loving, showing compassion for other human beings. And this is what separates us as believers, because we love people. People will know us by how we love people. Eros, this is the physical love between a husband and a wife. We see this all throughout Song of Solomon. And then there's agape love. And a lot of us have heard agape love, but we don't know what it is. Agape love is the most powerful love because it's sacrificial. Agape love is what sent Jesus Christ to the cross. Agape love is what is sacrificial because it's not just a feeling. Agape love is the act of the will. Jesus was agape love personified. And today I want to talk to you about love. The truth is I didn't want to talk to you about love. I wanted to talk to you about Hannah, and God said no, and I kept fighting him on it. And he said, you're going to talk about love because we need love in this world. Right now, people are so angry. They're giving unwanted opinions. They're judging people. They're angry. And it's like, we need to get back to the heart of God, which is pure love. And if the church doesn't rise up, then it's going to get nastier, nastier, nastier. And we need to also be mindful that we need to be loving people too. So we're going to get into Luke. If you have your Bibles, jump into Luke 10. We're going to read today about the parable of the Good Samaritan. Luke 10. If you're ready, say, let's go. All righty. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said to him, what is written in the law? What is your reading of it? So he answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, and with all of your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have answered rightly. Do this and you will live. But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Then Jesus answered him and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothes, wounded him, departed, and left him half dead. Now, by chance, a certain priest came down the road. When he saw him, he passed by the other side. Likewise, a Levite who arrived at the place came, stood, and passed by the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed where he was, when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him, bandaged up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and set him on his own animal. He brought him to an inn and took care of him. On the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave it to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him, and whatever you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. So which of these three do you think was the neighbor to him who fell among thieves? And he said, he who showed mercy. Then Jesus said, go and do likewise. And when I first read this, like, I'm frustrated with this lawyer. Like, I'm like, how are you going to come step to Jesus like that, you know? But then, like, the minute I was, like, literally reading this, God says, how many times do you set me up? How many times do you do things or make excuses for your actions hoping to get out of something or hoping to change my mind or hoping to scoot around the truth? And the truth is that what was the answer to the question? You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, all of your strength, all of you. You shall. It's a command. It's not an option. It's a command. It's not a suggestion. He decrees love. He commands you to love because God's not going to command me to do something I can't do. Listen, I can't be French. Okay, I could move to France, I could learn the language, I could marry a Frenchman, I could get a villa, make cheese and wine, have little French babies. I'm still not gonna be French in my bloodline. I'm Dutch with a little bit of Spanish sprinkled in, okay? That's who I am. But if God decrees it, it means I can do it, which means it's within my power to achieve it, which means that love is controllable. I get to choose who I love. I get to choose how I love. Every morning I wake up, I choose to love my husband. Doesn't matter if he snored and farted all night long, I still choose to love him. It's a choice. You can choose to love God. It's a choice. And so if I have that choice, I have the choice to either love him half-heartedly or to love him with all of my soul and all of my mind and all of my strength and all of my will. I do. And God wants that exclusive love. Lukewarm, half-hearted affection for God won't do it. He needs all of us. My Gracie Bell, she's starting to feel the effects of having a sibling. And, you know, Ava Lee, we're working with her to try to get her to crawl and do all this sort of thing. And so a lot of times I'm having to spend time with Ava. And Ava's chill and she's relaxed, but I'm still having to work with her. And Gracie Bell is really starting to feel these effects of feeling left out. And so she'll get on our couch and she'll stand there and be like, "Mommy, look at me." And she'll jump off the couch as far as she can under the carpet. And she just wants attention from me. And so on Valentine's Day, I knew my heart was breaking for her. And so I woke up really early and I set a little table with her little presents and I made her funfetti pancakes and a little special drink. And I woke her up early before anybody else was up. I said, "Baby girl, come on." And I took her out to the table and I said, "Gracie, this is for you. Happy love day, my darling. Mommy loves you so much." And she grabs my little face and she goes, "Oh, sweet. So sweet, mommy. You are the best mommy for me. I love you so much, my sweet mommy." And as soon as I cried and then wrote down everything she said so I would never forget, I realized how much she needed undivided mama time. She needs time just for a little while with me where I don't have my mind on Ava or working with her. It's just me and her time, where I pour into her, where I get to know her little three-year self heart and her mind and what she wants to do when she grows up, which is drive a pink dump truck, and just get to know her. And so many times in life, we get distracted with things, and God is on the couch, and he's jumping off, and he's saying, "Spend time with me. Get to know me, love me." And it's not because he's a needy God, he's not, but he created us to be in community with him. He created us to be one with him. And the truth is, ladies, is that we cannot truly love someone that we don't know. So if we don't know God, truly know God, we can't truly love him. And it's through these spiritual disciplines that our love for God grows and matures. Our love for him is a response to his divine love for us. Much like a relationship with your spouse or your boyfriend, we express our love to God by spending time with him, getting to know him, nearness, listening to each other's voice, talking, reading the word. And we need to be eager to study the word of God, not like, "Gosh, okay, I'm gonna do my 20 minutes today." Eager. We need to be eager to pray, not like, "Gosh, I hope so-and-so's not praying today, they're forever." We need to be praying and eager to do it and eager to spend time with him. Because the truth is, ladies, is that it all comes down to your heart. Where is your heart in the issue? Because your heart is the seat for your mind and your will. It's the seat. It's your heart is sitting on your mind and your will. Am I gonna do this? Where is my heart at? And the truth is that we're all broken people. We don't wanna admit it, but we are. We all have things that we struggle with, things that we battle. Some of us are open about it. Some of us cover it up with a good concealer and a heck of a lot of foundation. But the truth is that if you don't strengthen your core things, it won't matter what new outfit you're rocking, what new car you got, how much Botox you got up in that head, girl. It will not fill you or fix you. Because it's just fluff. And there's a country song that I love, and it has this line in it that says, "Glamour at its finest just means someone's hiding." What are you hiding from? All of us are hiding. Are you hiding your pain? Are you hiding your anxiety? Are you hiding your stress? Are you hiding your past with fluff? Because just because it looks good on the outside doesn't mean it's all working good on the inside. This year, I got hit with a lot of small annoyances health-wise. Nothing serious, but like every month I was on antibiotics or something. And I know it's the enemy, but I ended on a high note though at Christmas. I got shingles in my face. And it was on my eye was sealed shut. I couldn't comb my hair because it would ooze out. I couldn't hold the babies because they haven't had chicken pox yet. And so it was a very Merry Christmas. And let's just say I will never, ever, ever frame those photos because Mama looked like Rocky Balboa. I'm like, "Brandon, why is the baby crying?" Like, it was a hot mess. And you know, I went to this wonderful infectious disease doctor and he was like, "Jenny, like, we got your blood work back and almost everything looks perfect." I mean, I couldn't ask for better numbers, but he was like, "You're super vitamin D deficient." And I was like, whoop-de-doo. Like, I'll eat some salmon, throw in a bikini and go in the backyard. You know, like, I didn't think it was a big deal. And I think he could tell that I didn't think it was a big deal because he goes, "I know this seems small, Jenny, but if you don't take care of you, you'll continue to get sick. And if it gets really bad, then something more serious can occur." Because what the vitamin D does is it enhances your immune system. And your immune system, it fights infection and other diseases. So when that's low, your body will continue to experience sickness. If our focus, ladies, is not on our core, our heart, our mind, our soul, our strength, the things that matter inside of you, you will continue to wrestle with infection.